Grace and peace and mercy, I pray, would be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Worldly eyes is the title of this message. Worldly eyes, that's something that can really have two meanings. Worldly eyes can mean having a lot of practical experience in the world. Street smarts, that we sometimes call it. The idea of being able to know what people are up to, because you've had some experience with people. But it can also mean being of the world rather than of God. In our Passion reading, we saw both. We saw both at work as Pontius Pilate, as the temple authority, as the crowds, and as the Roman soldiers looked at Jesus through worldly eyes. All of them had lived life. All of them failed to look through God's eyes. Pilate, in the Roman Empire, you didn't rise to the level of power that Pilate had without being worldly wise. Pilate became a governor. And to become a governor, you have to look out for number one and not for others. Now, there's some things about Pilate we have since learned. He had some aspirations, and those aspirations got him in trouble with the emperor. That's never a good thing. Pilate was sentenced to Judea. Nobody wanted to govern Judea. Least of all, Pilate, who served there not just one term, but multiple terms. He was stuck there. Pilate was a man with worldly desires and ambition. Pilate was also worldly in the sense that he really didn't personally care about religious matters. Hence, Judea. Judea, where the population is utterly controlled by their religion, that had to be a thorn in his side. With that understanding, it's actually odd to see Pilate cooperating with the Jewish leaders, with the temple authority, in the trial of Jesus. You don't expect that. Especially when it is so profoundly clear that he knew Jesus was innocent based on his own investigation. But in the end, Pilate's worldliness won out. His religious skepticism is on full display when he asks, "What is truth?" Pilate perceived truth the way much of our own culture perceives it, as something that ebbs and flows and changes from person to person, from time to time. Truth, ultimate truth, Pilate didn't believe in that. Ultimate truth is truth that remains true even if no one believes it. It is still true. Pilate didn't believe in that. What is truth, he says. Isn't it sad that in doing that he rejected the way, the truth, and the life that was standing right there in front of him? One can almost see his work and efforts at worldly affairs as he grants the temple authority the execution of Jesus, while wicked Barabbas walks free. No doubt he had thought it better to pacify the Jews rather than place his position of power in jeopardy. You see, it's Sabbath. It's Passover. And then the city is bursting at the seams. There are so many people in the city. And if rebellion rose up during Passover, he might lose control. And he's already in trouble with the emperor. That will not do. He thought it better to pacify the Jews over one insignificant Jewish guy that some of them are calling king. worldly eyes. The temple authority had worldly eyes as well. The Sadducees saw the popularity of Jesus as a threat to their power and their position. The Pharisees saw Jesus as a competitor to their own religious influence and as an opponent to their hyper-legalistic policies and philosophies and theology. So the worldly temple authority stirred up the people to demand the crucifixion of Jesus. The Roman soldiers, they had worldly eyes too. They knew a king when they saw one, and Jesus was, in their view, no picture of nobility. No doubt some of them had served in Rome and had actually laid eyes upon Caesar, who at the time is emperor of almost the entire known world. In military campaigns, they had no doubt cast their eyes on other kings, and this guy, Jewish carpenter, beaten and bloodied, wearing a crown of thorns he won't even take off. What a joke. You know that's what they thought. They're bowing and they're praising Jesus. It was all mockery. Hail, King of the Jews. Ironically, and that's, I mean, think about it. Regardless of what was in their hearts, they did get it right, what came out of their mouth. Jesus is King. He is, in fact, the eternal Messiah, that one that was promised to Adam and Eve, that one that was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, that one that was promised throughout the prophets, that one that was so easily forgotten and dismissed. By the time you get to the last prophet in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, the people had so completely rejected the truth of God that God actually told them through the prophet Malachi, test me, see if I will bless you. And they wouldn't even do it. They wouldn't even do it. Jesus is King. But as Jesus told Pilate, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus came to this world from heaven to bear witness to the truth. And the truth is, Jesus is a king, but not a worldly one. He is the heavenly divine king, God the Son, in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, the God of creation, walking among us in his own creation. And how sad it is that we have strayed so far from him that as he walked among us, we did not see him. How sad it is for us today that so many have the Word of God laid before them so clearly that they cannot see him. They will not see him. While the way of the world is to look for power and for glory, the true God glories in the suffering of the cross, and he displays his power to save in the gospel of Christ, crucified and risen. Crucify him, cries the crowds. Crucify him, cries the Father on his throne in heaven. Crucify me, cries Jesus in obedience. In our epistle reading, we heard these words. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. And that must, above all else, speak of Jesus first. He came from heaven. He came from heaven to do his Father's will, to draw all men to himself on that cross, bearing the sins of all people, dying for the life of the whole world. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Jesus said that. Gave his only son to reconcile the whole world to himself, not counting our sins against us. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As your worldly sins are placed on him and on that cross, they are no longer on you. Over here in our sanctuary, beyond what I'm sure you can see with the camera, we have a cross here. We've pinned up our sins. We've written them down and folded them up and pinned them to that cross. We're going to do something with those on Holy Saturday. Because that's where our sin belongs, doesn't it? It belongs on that cross. It belongs up there with Jesus. And then it belongs in hell. Our sin can't be on us, or we go with it. As your sin is placed on Jesus, and that is done through holy baptism, through confession and absolution, and through holy communion, your sin can no longer continue to weigh you down in guilt and in shame. You should consider them to be as Scripture speaks, as far as the east is from the west. That is the truth of the gospel. That is the true good news. In Jesus, you have been set free from the slavery of sin, from the slavery of death, and from the slavery of hell. Free. You get to look forward to an eternal righteousness, an everlasting life, and a resurrection in God's unending heavenly kingdom, where sin will never touch you again. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. You are called not to a worldly way, but to a heavenly way. St. Paul writes to those baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory." What a wonderful message. Especially at times like these, where the specter of death is looming and walking among us, and no one knows whom or where it will strike next. It has already taken so many. It should be comforting to know that Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed to his Father for you on the night in which he was betrayed. He said, "Father, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Satan, it's a Hebrew word that means accuser. Isn't that what he does? "You know what you did. I know what you did. I'm going to tell them what you did. I'm going to tell God what you did." That's what Satan is. He's the accuser. He is the evil one, the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. He would lead you to share the worldly view expressed by Pilate. What is truth? That kind of religious skepticism is what leads people to one of two paths: either despair and a life without hope, or a life of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. That's the world. But it's not you. You know the truth about the world. St. John teaches us so clearly. He says, "All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, these things are not from the Father, but from the world." He continues, the world is passing away, along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The will of God, what is that? If the one who does the will of God abides forever, then we should know what the will of God is. The will of God is to embrace the truth of the cross. The cross on which the world was crucified to you and you to the world. This is God's saving way. No matter what your worldly status might be in this fallen world, St. Paul says this, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Be in the world, but not of it. Amen.